I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a pretty interesting show in store for you this evening with some pretty amazing information. I had a lot of fun putting tonight's program together, and the heart of the agenda this evening will be around monatomics, but I've got a number of topics, brief ones, to cover before we get into that material. And I'd like to start off by giving my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And, of course, if you're a listener of ET Yoga, you'll also know that I take my hat off and applaud anyone who can totally distance themselves from mainstream medical. And I'd take both hats off for anybody that can toss their TV in the garbage. Or even a better idea, take a television and go and sell it and buy something useful with it, the money. All right, so after those little jabs, I'd like to clarify a few things that I presented on the ET Yoga show that based on listeners' sort of responses, I felt it needed to be mentioned. And one of those concerns the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. And for those that aren't aware, that meditation comes from Bashar. And at the time that he presented that, Bashar was known from the Sasani civilization. And he is channeled by Daryl Anka. And Bashar came out with the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, and it is designed to expand your consciousness. So it's not just one of those little trivial meditations that sometimes people try. And if you're not familiar with ET Yoga, it's played at the end of each program. And if you really get into it, I think you'll find some very positive benefits from doing it. And one of those positive benefits is that it will enable you to contact any being in the entire universe, regardless of dimension. So that's the gist of the importance of the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. And for those people who, of course, would like to take the time to do that at their own leisure, and have their own copy, you can go to etyoga.com, and it's available as a download from my website, and I believe it's $9.95. So if you're interested in the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation, personally, I've always thought of it this way. If I was able to go in a spacecraft to another planet, and someone there would give me a meditation, I would really cherish it, and I always have. And I think that's the the attitude to take with respect to that particular piece of information. And although the one version that I give at the end of the program is sort of my version of it, it's pretty close to the original information. And the next area that I'd like to take a little bit of time explaining is this whole concept about positive spin. And from what I've been noting from some of the emails that I've received over the course of time, I think many people don't quite get the concept. And in other words, what we're basically saying is that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meanings. We place a definition on those circumstances, which generates emotion, and that emotion and the definition combined create either a positive or a negative spin on that outer circumstance. And the formula, as taught by Bashar, is that positive emotional spin in, a positive emotional experience, will be the result. And a negative emotional definition and spin creates a negative experience. Now, there's a lot of people there that seem to confuse this with positive attitude. There's a connection here with positive attitude, and I'm going to try to get into articulating how I see it connected and what the difference is. For example, I think we've all heard the expression, try to see the glass as half full instead of half empty. You know, which to me kind of equates to the whole idea of having a positive attitude about things. Or a certain event may happen to you, but you'll try to look at it to try to get the best out of it as opposed to the worst. Okay, so to me, you know, positive attitude, or even in sports, having a good positive attitude is, you know, an asset in any endeavor. But with this particular technique, we're not just talking about throwing a better definition on the same event. We're talking about creating an entirely new event. Now, let me articulate. Let's say, for example, you've been diagnosed with some, strange disease, and your first reaction is one of fear, and then it goes from there, and it kind of spirals into some negative synchronicity, and worst-case scenario develops. Okay, that would be one way to put a negative definition and a negative emotional spin on that circumstance. Now, let's say the same exact situation happens, that you're given the diagnosis, but your first initial reaction is to throw a positive spin on this, that something good from this is going to happen, and you just can't wait to find out what it is, and you're going to muster as much positive emotion as you can to put a positive emotional spin on the situation, and maybe you even eventually cure the situation, learn from it, or whatever aspect it is, but it turns into a very positive experience. Clearly, you've changed the event. It's not the same glass half full or half empty looking at it from different perspectives. It's totally two different end game scenarios. One ending in the most negative possible thing that could happen, and one ending in the most possible thing that could happen. So while we're talking about placing positive spin on outer circumstances, we're talking about an aspect here of reality creation. Now, to my way of thinking, there's three basic areas that involve reality creation. First one is all the beliefs that we've downloaded from our original caregivers, because we're basically given kind of a, if we were in a poker game, we'd be all be dealt a certain hand. This is the hand you kind of start with. Now, as you mature as an adult, you eventually go through some of those beliefs that you held when you were younger and thank your initial caregivers for all those great things that they provided for you, but at the same time, you change or modify or disregard those beliefs that no longer serve you. Now, that, to me, is the first stage of reality creation. And why do I call it reality creation? Because it's your definitions and your beliefs and your emotions that create the outer world you experience. The outer world you experience is a perfect mirror of those beliefs, definitions, and emotions. We also have become aware that there's a neural center in the heart that emits a frequency, and that frequency emits an electromagnetic effect that's 5,000 times stronger than the brain. So this, again, connects us to the morphogenetic field through emotion. Now, so the first stage to me of reality creation is these beliefs that we've sort of inherited. And I expect as well as we have some imprints from previous incarnations as well. Now, the second phase of reality creation would be consciously placing positive spin on outer circumstances, thus changing the event. In point of fact, what you really are doing is you're actually shifting to a parallel reality where this scenario plays out, as in the example that I gave at the top of the show. So by placing a positive spin on outer circumstances, you're actually doing reality creation. You're creating a different, or at least your own, choice of experience. And the third level would be through pure intention. Now, as we are finding out, the frequency of the Earth is rising. Used to be, when I was going to school, 7.8 hertz, megahertz was the Schumann frequency of the Earth. We now know that it's over 12, which you can research on the Internet. We appear to be heading towards, and maybe even are already have arrived, at being in several dimensions at the same time. And the higher that we vibrate, or the higher our frequency, the higher the dimensional level that we exist in, the quicker our beliefs, intentions manifest. So I think probably a good idea here coming from the Pleiadians would be positive Pleiadian affirmations, such as, I effortlessly intend to always be in the right place at the right time. I effortlessly intend to be successful in all things I do. I effortlessly intend to give love and receive love in all things I do. I effortlessly intend full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. These are positive affirmations that will, in point of fact, manifest at some level. And when we're talking about beliefs, I think it's very interesting to note that even our quantum physicists are telling us the same thing as Bashar information about belief. And that is, the best that they can come up with right now with a simulated model of the universe would be the conclusion that we live in a holographic universe, which is based on the energy of consciousness, and like any computer program, the language of recognition is belief. In other words, what you believe is. Well, if you buy that, what you believe is, and there's plenty of proof to show that in point of fact that is how things work, the best example I can think of would be the placebo effect in the area of medical treatment or cure. We know that sugar pills that should have no logical effect can actually be as effective as prescribed medicine based purely on belief. But what people don't seem to realize is this isn't just true in the area of medicine. This is true in everything. Why would it be only true in the area of medicine? What you believe is. And unfortunately, there are a lot of influences in the world that are constantly grabbing your attention. and throwing their spin on what you're supposed to believe or what you're supposed to fear or what you're supposed to think. And it all affects reality creation, all affects the world that we live in. So my point would be that if you truly believe that what you believe is, then you might want to try out some of these other ideas, such as, why not get in your Merkaba vehicle? And if you're not sure about what a Merkaba vehicle is, I'm not going to go into the details on this particular program, but again, you could go to my website at etyoga.com, and under the product section, under techniques, Merkaba techniques are taught there as well and available. Now, if you go into your Merkaba and ask to have your codons activated that make you totally immune from disease. Oh, you say, you've never heard of these codons that make you totally immune from disease? I would suggest a Google search. Google search the psychic children and children of AIDS, and the article by Dronvalo Melchizedek and Diane Cooper with respect to a child who was born with AIDS, who at about the age of 5 was tested and had AIDS, but all of a sudden a year later was tested and had no sign of it. Then they started testing his DNA with higher and higher doses of all kinds of diseases. And what they found out was that he was virtually immune. They also then did further tests and found that he had 4 codons of DNA activated that wasn't activated in the normal population. Those are the 4 codons I'm speaking of. And I know Dronvalo has also done this technique of going into his Merkaba vehicle and asking that his codons be activated to develop perfect health. This whole concept has also been reinforced through a channeling by Celia Fenn of Archangel Michael, who actually has a meditation, and that's at the website Infinity Codes of 2007, which deals with a meditation that activates your blueprint for perfect health. Actually, Children of the Sun also have similar meditations in their Avatar Yoga program to activate your blueprint for perfect health. And I've most recently heard that there's going to be kind of a new wave of information relating to activating our prosperity codes. And this is in relationship to old archetypes that we have of this whole concept of lack. And through many incarnations on the planet or off the planet, we have this imprint, and it's one of the things that needs an adjustment for many people, especially if you've had some problems manifesting money. The idea would be to dissolve the concept of lack and insert the concept of activating your prosperity codes. And again, this kind of falls in the area of working on your beliefs, finding out what you do believe, or even sometimes discovering some beliefs that you didn't know you had. And definitely reprogramming beliefs is a key factor in terms of if you want to change anything in your outer reflection. Because basically, our higher self splits off a portion of itself, which really becomes this incarnation, and actually simultaneous incarnations. However, from our point of view, we're here for the experience. And even though at a higher level we are our higher selves, we're still functioning in this dimension. And as I mentioned in the last ET Yoga program, in the sixth dimension, there is actually a place where actually adjustments to your 3D hologram can be made. And it also connects to the whole idea of, the concept of fate or free will. Now, just my opinion based on experience, but of many, many people that I've talked to concerning their first aha moments when they realize that there are higher levels of consciousness and we have the ability to attain them. When that event happened in their life, did they think that they had a personal control over that, or was it something that happened to them? Well, I'm in the category where I think it kind of happened to me. And I have kind of the feeling that later on when we finally do achieve the same state but are able to maintain that level, that although our intent will draw us to it, that maybe our higher selves have a lot to say about when that happens. I would make that analogy to a Bashar comment that sometimes before people win lots of money, your higher self wants them to experience certain appreciations and certain experiences before that happens. And if it happens at an earlier stage, it may not be in your best interest in terms of your spiritual growth. So money is a tricky one, and as Bashar would say, the best attitude to have about it is if you're trying to manifest lots of money, it doesn't happen. Always have the idea that you always get what you want, but it's just not available at this time. So rather than kind of giving up on the idea or throwing a negative spin on that. In kind of a summary there, if you really believe that what you believe is, it makes a good sense to try to make a list of things that you believe. And as well, with that whole idea about positive spin, I would highly suggest that you write down the next time you come across a situation that you would view as negative, and throw a positive spin on it. Because as Bashar would say, throwing positive spin on outer circumstances is the primary function of the rational mind. And log it on a piece of paper. And sometimes these things happen very quickly, and you'll see the results very quickly by throwing positive spin on it. Even if you can't see any possible way, there's something positive. Trust me, in this world, there is no such thing as a coin that doesn't have two sides. There's always a positive to any negative. And by throwing positive spin, you can create that experience. And then once you play with this and you actually get it, then it's just going to blow your mind, because it's not about talk. It's not about positive attitude. This is about reality creation, and this is what's meant by shifting. It's very similar to accessing the Akashic Record, where you're going down a certain train of thought and you come to a fork in the road where there's a choice that you make that takes you in one direction or another. Even though your consciousness follows the one direction, the other direction is played out. So there's always choices and there's always multiple possibilities to any given scenario. So I wanted to go into some detail on that for those people that I found didn't quite catch the drift of the whole concept. Now, with respect to the topic about monatomics or monatomic gold or the philosopher's stone, these subjects are very closely related. In my opinion, this is one of the greatest discoveries in the history of mankind, and it was actually rediscovered by David Hudson, I think it was in the 1980s. And I'm referring to his discovery of ORMEs, or orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. And I refer to David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3 on the internet. And I mean, it's a fantastic story. There's just no way that I could hit all the highlights in a brief radio show. It's an amazing, amazing story, especially getting into some of the experiments that have been done with these monatomics. And I'm just shocked that I don't hear about this in my daily routines. I even with the spiritual people that I connect with, even websites, I don't see it mentioned very much, and yet I think it's one of the most monumental discoveries in history. And to me, our destiny is in the stars, and the discovery of exotic matter, in my opinion, opens this door, and it'll make for interdimensional and intergalactic travel. I think mankind, you know, on its own is near to having this kind of technology. And even logically, you can figure at the rate scientific information is doubling, like every year and a half, it'd only be a matter of time when the doubling cube solve these problems. But in the meantime, yeah, there probably is a secret space program. We probably have a fleet of craft that are the results of back engineering crashed UFOs and deals with not-so-friendly extraterrestrials. But in addition, monatomics really goes back to the core of the creation of humanity itself, because the Anunnaki manipulated our DNA and basically programmed us to work in the mines for gold. And this, thus, humanity's always had this fascination with gold. And according to Bashar, gold is the frequency of longevity and timelessness. And it's not just the value of gold for the sake of the gold. I have heard that it can be used to heal up ozone layers on planets. It has many uses, but one of the uses clearly is that when you melt the gold down, you get the white powder, and that's called the white powder gold. And David Hudson, he made multiple connections with monatomics and the Tree of Life, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, alchemy, Manuel Velikovsky, superconductivity, the Ark of the Covenant, the Adams family, and more recently in the works of Lawrence Gardner. Now, since his latest book, Secrets of the Sacred Ark, and that was published in 2003, best-selling author Sir Lawrence Gardner has been giving worldwide lectures about the rediscovery of arcane knowledge, and in particular, the extraordinary powers of white powder gold. And when gold and platinum group metals are transformed into the monatomic state, a fine white powder is produced. And then this substance was used by pharaohs and kings of the ancient world. It was also part of the secret knowledge of medieval alchemy and the Knights Templar. Research on this has been forging ahead, and some amazing properties of high-spin monatomic elements have now been scientifically confirmed, and this has huge and potentially revolutionary implications. Humanity now has within its reach a potential cure for cancer without drugs or surgery, an environment-friendly alternative to fossil fuels, a means to transform human consciousness, the possibility of low or zero gravity flight, space travel by manipulation of space-time, and access to other dimensions which scientists have now proved to be real. And in an age where Alzheimer's or dementia is prevalent in a large segment of the population, some remarkable tests were conducted by the Alpha Learning Institute at the World Trade Center in Lugano, and they're specialists in behavioral sciences and learning deficiencies such as dyslexia and ADHD. And over a number of weeks, they gave measured doses of monatomic supplements to 10 volunteers, males and females, varying in ages, and the results were quite staggering. Their EEG brain scan showed a significant enhancement of alpha waves, leading to perfect hemispheric left and right brain synchronization. And this facilitated heightened learning ability, memory, and creative skills, and a substantial lowering of the stress factor. And their report stated that the results were both immediate and cumulative, while being a significant aid in exam-type situations, whether mental or physical. And I've seen some of these tests, and it's just incredible. Like, for example, if your right brain was a 2 and your left brain was a 7, after taking the substances, both sides end up being 7s. I mean, it's fascinating material. Now, in Greek mythology, the quest for the secret of this substance was at the heart of the Golden Fleece legend, and in biblical times, it was the mystical realm of the Ark of the Covenant, the golden coffer which Moses brought out of Sinai to be housed in the Temple of Jerusalem. The ancient Mesopotamians called the powder Shemanah, and the Egyptians described it as muskets, while the Alexandrians venerated it as the paradise stone, and it's also been known as the manna. Thermogravimetric analysis has revealed that at certain high temperatures, the material weight of M-state elements will reduce substantially, even to the degree that they will levitate. And in specific circumstances, they have also had the ability to become superconductive and to resonate in parallel dimensions. Now, for a long time, it's a known fact that monatomics cure many types of diseases. In fact, the FDA actually approved a product called Ace Manin for use on animals with cancer. And the cat is sort of out of the bag now with research being done all over the world. And according to Gardner, scientific journals from Switzerland, Germany, Italy, Spain, France, Singapore, Israel, Britain, and America are all commenting in this regard with headlines such as the amazing properties of monatomic gold, you know, even though we don't hear much of anything about this. There are no limitations on this now. And apparently David Hudson, he says that, I quote from him, "I have since my discovery read some 500 books on alchemy history, and it all goes back to a man named Enoch, Thoth, Hermes, Trismegistus, all the same guy, ascended by partaking of the white drops. He never died. Ascended because he was so perfect. I found a huge amount of research going on in treating cancer with precious elements, that the elements have been found interacting with a cell by a vibrational frequency or by a light transfer and have been correcting the DNA. Any alteration, any defect in the DNA is corrected by the precious elements. It perfects the cells of our bodies. But the element going into our bodies is not a metal. The element is not a heavy metal. It's an element. So there's no heavy metal poisoning." And according to Thoth, prima matra is an ancient alchemical term that means prime, unviolated first matter and covers any form of matter that is resonant with the original first matter. And this planet was entirely a spiritual creation without a matter counterpart. In other words, it was pure energy with divine patternings. As it began to slow down its vibrational frequency, matter began to coalesce from the pure energy patternings. The first matter that did coalesce was absolutely pure, as yet untainted by negative intrusions of human thought or feeling as we know it today. And since that time, there have been inner plane orders that have ensured that there would always be a certain amount of some form of this prima matra present within the dimension in order to maintain the bridge from this reality back to our true spiritual heritage. And this substance, the white powder gold, is being revealed at this time to the planet to assist humanity with the transformational process. The powder helps the cellular consciousness to assimilate and reorient to the grace factor. And Thoth has cautioned that it is not to be taken lightly, however, for if it is not used properly, there is a danger of burning out the higher level light body. The nature of this danger is such that an individual who is taking too much would perhaps not receive any warning signs in fact, might receive just the opposite, as feelings of euphoria would be quite prevalent. The white is the all-around powder. It is the one that Thoth felt could safely be used by anyone over extended periods of time when used in the following concentrations. And he says, take 1/16 teaspoon and dilute this in 1 quart of pure water, then refrigerate. Drink 2 to 3 ounces of the solution once or twice a day. Thoth also said that in ancient times, when the rites of passage such as this were performed in the temples, the initiates were prepared through a specific sequencing of consciousness evolution. Many times this was accomplished through a series of mini rites prior to undertaking such major rites of passage. And he indicated that there are some souls who were able to go through these procedures without the elaborate preparations, but that even in the ancient times there were very few, and that there are even fewer today. But certainly what we're seeing here is the physical proof of the possibility of the concept of spiritual enlightenment that has been sought after by many and achieved by few. And it has its scientific basis at this level of reality rooted in the superconductive principles. And a superconductor is not bound by the traditional laws of physics known to science. It has the ability to bend space-time and expel magnetic and gravitational waves of force. And I first heard about monatomics from Bashar, who said that it was best used to kind of grease the wheels. And I might note that Thoth also said that there is an etheric molecule present in the natural powder called europia, and that it probably cannot be detected at this time by the scientific community. And also, according to Thoth, Hudson's Orme is a viable form of prima matra, or first stages of matter, but works more on the electromagnetic level than do the natural powders. I should also point out that the balsam plant apparently was around back in the days of Lemuria. So there's an amazing plant with lots of monatomics. And I've mentioned many times on the program about the aloe vera plant containing pretty large doses of rhodium. And there's a real healing element right there. And I know that in Romania, for example, they have a technique where they take the leaves of the aloe vera plant and squeeze the juice, some of the pulp, and then mix that with honey and take it internally. And we're all aware of the healing powers externally of aloe vera, but in point of fact, it's the inner healings that are most important, especially in these days when we're bombarded with all kinds of GMO food. Now, here's some mind-boggling information around Thoth. Apparently, now this is according to the Dan Winters site, one of Thoth's incarnations was as the son of Enki, the Anunnaki. And in Sitchin's calendar tales from When Time Began, he explains to us in great detail that Thoth taught the moon cycles-based calendar, which under his other name, Quetzalcoatl, became the Mayan calendar, partly because it needed to compete with his archenemy Marduk's solar-based calendar. And Marduk was also the being, apparently, who made a pact with the Alfredoconians. So Thoth proclaims that he is of pure Rigelian blood from Orion. So we may be getting a little bigger picture of our Anunnaki gene pool, planetary origins. Now, the word origin is rooted in the word Orion. And we have long speculated that Enki's dad, Ea, or An, was of Orion blood. And An's son, Enki, or Adonai, versus Enlil, or Yahweh's, squabble over whether or not to ensoul or empower our gene pool, which was their experiment, became the root of almost every war in the history of our planet, including and especially the Enlil nuclear blast desertifying Sinai and Enlil's treachery to destroy Enki's heaven, which was Atlantis. and especially the Cain-Abel Battle of Brothers, which is today labeled as the Arab-Israeli War. Now, it would be natural for Thoth, descending from the Enki side of the War of the Brothers, a.k.a., quote, East of Eden, to inherit the Adonai-Enki penchant for trying to slip some psychokinetic muscle into us as a DNA experiment. And this is consistent with the Andromedan rumor that the Sirion-Orion trading house, paid by the Orion culture to build Nibiru for gene splicing, was rebellious against the empire. And as a result, Ea's more ingenious kids, which Thoth being one, he slips a Mickey into the NH Ibero genetic T. So the Andromedans called this Potal, or 11th dimensional DNA. So what we're hearing here is basically that the Anunnaki were squabbling over whether to empower humans or not, what sort of empowering DNA they should leave or not leave. And in according to this information, it was Thoth that slipped the Mickey of the Potal DNA into our life stream. And this is really amazing because we're talking 11th dimensional DNA. And we have been told many times that we were originally intended to have 12 strands of DNA. And from what I understand, it was the Orions that basically manipulated 10 of those strands to be sort of non-functional. Now, according to Dan Winter, what he likes is that our gene pool gets to be the bullet in the draconian furnace. The revolution against the Elizabeth continues. And individualization versus New World Order revolution, a microcosm of the Galactic Orion Wars, a true-to-life galactic sequel to The Empire Strikes Back. So I found that to be quite fascinating information, and thanks a lot, Toth, for that. I should also mention that, personally, I'm very interested in natural sources of monatomics. Now, if you're interested in, like, white powder gold, I could recommend Ascension Alchemy as a website to check out. These guys are very knowledgeable in this area. But with respect to what I've been able to find out, there are certain traces of monatomics in all green vegetables, green beans, sea salt, almonds, eggplant, flax seeds, and flaxseed oil. I assume sesame, almond, grapeseed, and argan oils as well. And for sure, olive vera juice, apparently Welch's grape juice, to name a few. So it stands to reason, the more monatomics are light in your body, the higher the frequency. And, of course, it's a well-known fact that, we know, when people get sick, where do they start? What do they turn to? Well, they turn to changing the diet. And when they change the diet, what do they change to? Well, they change to vegetarianism, for sure. And which reminds me, it's worth, I think, repeating. And if you haven't heard about the Great American Rat Experiment, a group one of rats is fed on a diet of raw fruits, vegetables, nuts, and whole grains, beginning at birth. And this group grows into healthy, affectionate, and disease-free adults. Group two is fed the equivalent of the standard American diet: meat, milk, candy, lots of fats. I guess we kind of got cut off there in the middle of that Great American Rat Experiment. Anyway, I guess we've got the technical problems sorted out. So I was talking about a third group in the American Rat Experiment was also fed the standard American diet, and this group suffers the same diseases and displays the same temper as the second group. Now, here's the amazing part. After the equivalent of 40 human years, the third group is switched to a diet of raw fruits and vegetables, whole grains and nuts, and they turn into healthy, happy, disease-free specimens within 1 month. Now, to me, that's just absolutely amazing. So, passing that on as to a plug for that type of diet and the amazing effects that that could have. Now, continuing along this topic of monatomics, what are monatomic elements? Well, they're high spin electrons that work as a superconductor between dimensions. I'd call it the elixir of life. Some would call it a philosopher's stone, a white powder gold. In point of fact, there is a difference between that arrived through the metals and that that's arrived through alchemy or the philosopher's stone. And I guess the rule of thumb here is not to, give all the secrets away or make it too easy. You got to do a little work on your own. But if you want to go to cosmic awareness and how to make the philosopher's stone, it'll tell you how to do it. And if you want to know about white powder gold, check out David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3. In my opinion, one of the greatest discoveries of the century, or should I say a rediscovery, because it was known as the mana in biblical times. And how do you make it? Well, you by turning metals to gold and then melting the gold until you get the white powder. And when I talk to groups of people, almost nobody knows about this amazing discovery. And it's just incredible. And lately, every time I turn around, I see applications of it that people aren't aware of what it is they're using. For example, in the field of women's cosmetics, the rage is gold facials. And frankly, all the creams in the world are just fakes. The real stuff is sesame oil and flaxseed oil, olive oil, grapeseed oil, and argan oil, which all contain monatomics. And no wonder they're actually rejuvenating. And I see more and more people taking aloe vera pills for stomach disorders. And the truth is about 90% of all stomach disorders can be cured with the juice from an aloe vera plant. And the other amazing aspects of this topic are that when Hudson, and I'm quoting from his report, that he says that when he met the scientist called Hal Putoff, he said, "Dave, do you know what this means? It means you can control space-time. If you control gravity, you're controlling space-time. And so literally what these atoms are doing is they're bending space-time to weigh 5/9 their normal weight." He says, "There are theories in the published journals, credible journals, about moving faster than the speed of light from one place to another. But to do it, you must have what's called exotic matter, matter that has no gravitational attraction at all. And do you know what iridium at 70 degrees Fahrenheit has no gravitational attraction at all? And by the way, it's rhodium and iridium are plentiful in flaxseed oil and flaxseed. And so literally, if our body becomes filled with the light, we literally eat this until our light body exceeds our physical body, then we supposedly become light beings. Now, what does it do in the body? It literally corrects the DNA by a process, the equivalent of a denaturing solution. The DNA relaxes and recombines corrected. So all diseases that originate with a problem with the DNA can be corrected, but your reason for taking it cannot be to correct a disease. Your reason for taking it has to be a philosophical reason. It has to be to enlighten and raise the nature of mankind. If in doing that it happened to cure the disease, well, so be it." And he says that over 5% of the brain tissue by dry matter weight is rhodium and iridium, and almost nobody knows it because it can't be directly measured. The elements are flowing the light of life in your body. The elements are, in fact, what the light is and was discovered by the 300-second spectroscopic analysis. And David says in his lecture part two, and he says, "I can show you four papers by U.S. Naval Research Facility where they have proven that the cells communicate with each other by a process identical to superconductivity, but they can't figure out what is superconducting. And it is these stealth atoms at work, the atoms that are in your body, the atoms that flow perpetually the light of life, but no one knows they're there because they don't identify by normal instrumental analysis. You have this liquid, invisible light that vibrates, and it's flowing in your body right now, and it corrects the DNA and keeps the DNA corrected and functioning correctly. And what happens when some DNA becomes deficient in these elements or it becomes pinned with the carcinogens, now the light cannot flow in that area. So the ancients knew of this process of turning these base metals to gold, and the residue is the white powder gold, which contains the monatomic elements, two of them being rhodium and iridium. And these elements were in the first matter called Prima Matra. And a portion of the Vedic text was sent to Hudson by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, if you remember him from the 60s. And he's a nuclear physicist as well, and he knows of this work. And he says that it's from about 2000 BC, and it says you can take mercury and divide mercury and divide mercury and divide mercury until you divide it into its essence, and you actually get a white powder of mercury. And the way you test the mercury to see if it's ready for ingestion is you heat it in air, and if it turns to gold, then it's ready for ingestion, and they knew this in 2000 BC. And thus, the ancient Sumerians and Egyptians also had knowledge of this, as did many secret mystery schools. And the clinical white powder gold is not being made and sold, and of course, too much would not be good. And that's why I suggest you go to the article Spiritual Nature of Ethereum Gold, and that's a commentary by Thoth, and that's concerning the safe taking of the substance. And it was actually used in the rites of passage way back in Egyptian times, and the substance can help make a transition to higher states of consciousness if done properly and with caution. And I don't want to give the impression that this is a magic pill to enlightenment. However, huge benefits in the area of cures for many diseases and greasing the wheels, as Bashar has said. And for anybody with serious disease issues, I'd recommend getting a personal interview with Bashar, which is Daryl Anko, through his website at bashar.org. That's www.bashar.org. And get his comments with regard to the type of monatomic and the proper dosage. And that's those guys are in Los Angeles. So I'd also like to mention that with respect to the alchemy aspect of this, the cosmic awareness states that the Philosopher's Stone was first discovered in Atlantis about 12,000 BC. And it came about partly by accident, in which entities ingested substances found in the desert, where there'd been what appears to have been a place where a certain entity urinated frequently, and at some point noticed the white powder on the earth without recognizing how it got there. He tasted it and noticed certain things happening to him. And after some time, the entity began to realize what it was and how it worked. And cosmic awareness suggests that the entity did not discover at that time the effects of the powder on metal. Only at some much later time was this aspect of alchemy recognized. In other words, the secret of the Philosopher's Stone is human urine and the processes that it goes through. And it is slightly different than the, but similar in many aspects to the monatomics of David Hudson or Ormaze. So, I just like to point out at this time that, you know, there's lots of different avenues for people to follow up on with respect to monatomics. It can be something that you might actively seek to try the white powder. You might try to make your own philosopher's stone. You might just want to just be interested in the natural foods that contain monatomic elements, because they're clearly going to help you with respect to any health conditions. And I'd like to, at this point in time, point out some other benefits of visiting my website at etyoga.com. My new book is available there, and it's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. And you can also look on the internet under ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond Scribed and actually get the first three or four chapters. They're available to read right on the internet, as well as I have some ebooks there, which were a combination of thousands of hours of research trying to put all the best ideas that I accumulated as a yoga student of Sri Swami Satchidananda and Paramahansa Yogananda and Sri Ramana Maharshi. Also at the site, of course, is the extraterrestrial meditation. You can, if you've never had the opportunity to do a Merkaba technique, I have one program there that's just for techniques. It includes the Pleiadian spinning technique and the Pleiadian pillar of light, the Merkaba technique, and XYZ all together in one package. I also have, for those who have an interest in developing breathing or pranayamas, as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, it's also available at the site. Even articles related to off-planet civilizations and how their societies function without money. Lots of, I think, interesting products there at the site, and certainly appreciate the support. I'd also like to mention that, especially for those of you who have clicked on the idea of throwing positive spin and have found it to work in their life, nothing makes my day more than hearing about people's personal successes with information they've picked up on the show. As well, I also really love to hear stories about people who have, in point of fact, distanced themselves from mainstream medical or have distanced themselves from mainstream media. And love to hear from you. You can email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. That's paper as in the word paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. If you don't have a paper or pencil handy, you can just look on the BBS website there, and I think it's posted there as well. So, and also at my website, etyoga.com, there's also a contact button. So if you can't contact me through the email, you can always do so from the website itself. And I always appreciate hearing suggestions concerning people's interest in future topics that we do on ET Yoga. And also any positive or negative comments you have, I weigh everything out as fairly as I can, make adjustments as needed. And as usual, I always like to mention that I wish everyone my sincere best towards their attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I believe now, hopefully you'll get a better appreciation as we now play the extraterrestrial meditation, the XYZ.
I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. all the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity, and it returns, but a little faster now, and faster and faster and faster, until it too crashes through you, out the front, all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now, out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, back and forth, 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 and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and out the back, and out the front, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity, and back out the right side all the way to infinity, and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side, and back out the right side, and side to side, and side to side, and front and back, 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all. It is time to become a part of all.